Is everybody ready?
Yeah!
Let's do it. Good afternoon and welcome to the Minnesota Radio Show out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on WWDB AM 860. And I do say Philadelphia because we are heard now virtually all over the world with internet, and we're heard live in the tri-state area. My name is Gary Hendler. I'm the host of Clean and Sober Radio Show. And today is a very special experience where we are actually broadcasting live as a remote broadcast from the Malvern Institute outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, my co-host today is Dana, and she might say something. I'm not sure, but she's sitting next to me right now. So let me just give you a little background on me. I've been sober for over 35 years. I got sober in May of 1982. In Philadelphia, and for everybody in here, nobody ever thought I was going to get sober. I had numerous arrests. Anything you can think of, anything anybody else has done in here, pretty much I've done it. But you know what? As Counselor John and I were talking last night, if you prioritize and you make something more valuable, important than the substance, you'll do very, very well. So we're at the Malvern Institute. The Malvern Institute is the oldest private addiction treatment center in the United States. 1947, it was started. It's helped thousands and probably 10,000 of patients have come through here over the last however many years that is. John, can you add that up? No? Okay. Okay. Just a couple things I want to bring, a couple announcements. Our good buddy Bobby Rydell, on October the 7th, at Upper Darby Performing Arts, has a concert at 7 p.m. Ricky Bird from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, another buddy of the show, his Clean Getaway disc will be available on Amazon, the end of this month. And, one of our regulars on the show, Daryl Strawberry, has a book coming out in the mid part of October called Don't Give Up on Me. Which I don't know if you've read his story, have heard anything about him. He's got some compelling history. Just shows that we're all alike, no matter who we are, how famous, how poor, how rich, everybody's got issues. Okay, so today is going to be a totally interactive show. The good thing is I didn't have to prepare for anything because I don't know any of you. So it should go, hopefully it'll go very well. Oh, one last thing. District Justice Andrea Duffy asked me to announce this on the show. DARA, D-A-R-A, is Drug Addiction Resource Alliance, and they are having a big forum on October the 3rd. That's next week at 6 p.m., the Montgomery County Community and Recreation Center. And Malvern Institute is a sponsor and underwriter of DARA, so I wanted to get that off. Today's interactive. If anybody would like to share their experience, strength, and hope, don't be nervous. It's held. People all over the world will hear this, so don't be nervous. All right, but it's live. It's live tri-state. Would anybody like to start and just come up here and give your name, and just say why you're here? Okay. What's your name, man?
Kevin.
Kevin? All right, Kevin. Tell us what you're doing here.
My name is Kevin, and I'm here for heroin addiction and crack cocaine.
How long you been using?
I've been using for 10 years.
10 years?
Addictively.
Okay. And why is this your first go at rehab?
This is about my 35th go at rehab.
Uh-huh. Why will this one be different?
I'm waiting around for a halfway house.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to 6 more months to a year of treatment.
So this go-around, it's different because you're leaving inpatient and you're going to a halfway house?
Patiently at that.
Patiently? All right. Don't get too comfortable. You're not going to be here that much longer. What else you want to tell? Where are you from?
I'm from Delaware County. Shout out to my mom and dad.
Go ahead.
My 7-year-old daughter, my brother and sisters, and Gabs that just got here at Malvern.
All right, good. Listen, we wish you the best of luck, Kev. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Who else? Come on up. What's your name?
Becca.
Okay, Becca. What are you doing here?
I'm here for treatment.
Good.
I'm addicted to crack and Xanax.
Okay. And why did you choose to come in now?
Because things got out of control. I was getting put in dangerous situations, and it was time to stop.
First treatment center?
No.
How many?
11.
Okay. Good. I mean, hopefully this will be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are your plans going to be after you get out of here?
I'm going to a recovery house in South Philly.
Okay.
And I'm going to be in IOP for 3 days a week.
I mean, does it feel different this go around? Like, are you more engaged? You really want this more now?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot more hope for the future than I did before I got here. Mm-hmm. I'm not as negative as I was when I was here. Honestly, it's a huge turnaround for me. I'm really proud of myself, how far I've come.
Good. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this is Recovery Month. You guys all know that. September, we're coming to the end, is Recovery Month across the United States. And I had the pleasure at the beginning of the month to kick it off in the rotunda at the Capitol building in Harrisburg. And I thought to myself while I was doing it, holy mackerel. I was locked up I don't know how many times. And look at me, I'm standing here with all these, you start to look at these people and think they're better than you, which they're not. They all have their hidden issues in their heads, no matter what they look like. So the experience was really incredible that I got to do this kind of stuff. And the only reason I got to do it is because I've been clean and sober for all these years. I also sit on Governor Wolf's Advisory Council for Drug and Alcohol Abuse for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're doing a lot of good things in this state, prescription monitoring programs and all sorts of things to try to get all this, disease in control in some way. So hopefully the tide is turning, and I noticed from my friends in law enforcement that the direction is now treatment, not incarceration for users. So it's good. Who else wants to come up here? Come on up. Yo.
Hi, I'm Jack, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jack.
What I've learned here at Malvern Institute is I did have 14 years of sobriety, and I did have a relapse recently. And the three things that I didn't do that I've learned that I can do is, first of all, I look across this room, about 60 people that I really intimately know very well. I've spoken to just about everyone, and we really dig deep into each other's personalities and psyche, figure out what's wrong with us. The second thing I think we've learned is, we all have a lot in common, but it's a fellowship. If we try to stay away from where we were and the people we hung out with, we have a chance. I was just listening to Bill W., and quite honestly, he says you've got to stay away from those people, places, and things, where we were and the people, especially who we hung out with. We've got to change that. Our new friends are going to be in the AA rooms and the NA rooms. The third thing I learned here is one thing that I did not do was follow the program. We have a 12-step program that we should follow quite diligently, and I did not the first time, and that is a major reason why I fell back into a relapse.
You know, I give you a lot of credit for coming back. I often thought if I was so misfortunate to start using again, what would happen? also your story scares me, you know? So I give you a lot of credit. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Real good luck. You said you wanted a lot of time, so here you go.
Yeah, that's true.
What's your name?
I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
So the reason I'm here, I relapsed after 2 years of sobriety. Now, my relapse started months before it actually happened. I isolated myself. I was in a recovery house. I worked the steps. I had commitments. I had a sponsor. I was sponsoring other guys. Then I just, I felt resentment that I never worked on. And, like they say in the big book, resentment is the number one offender. So because of that resentment, I isolated myself. And, resentment is like me drinking poison and expecting that other person to die, and it just doesn't work. So I isolated myself until the point where my brother called me and said he was moving back to Pennsylvania from California and asked me if I wanted to get a house with him. So I went back to those people, places, and things, and it started off with one beer, and in a week I was shooting crack and heroin every day. It led up to 4 overdoses in 2 months, where the last one, the EMT said to me, I was just seeing how long it would take you to go. That scared me. That shook me up. And then 2 days later, my amazing family had this intervention for me, where my sister, who's my best friend, was crying and looking at me and said, John, you need help. My brother, who never cries, was looking at me and said, I was scared to come home every day because I didn't want to find you dead. And honestly, he could have. I overdosed and I was laying flat on the coffee table with, bags and needles and everything around me. And because he walked in, when he did, I'm alive. There's a purpose for my life today. All I really needed them to say in that intervention was, do you want help? That's it. And once they said that, I was more than happy to come here.
Good. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
I think we all, I'll speak for myself. When I was out there, I didn't really care or what my actions were doing affecting the rest of the people around me. I didn't give it one thought. And that's a tough thing. And then if you have a kid who gives you problems, then you get, then you understand that this disease affects everybody, So, it sounds very convincing, everybody sounds like, everybody talks the right talk. When you get out of here is the proof. And there can be nothing more important than the sobriety, Sponsorship, meetings, all that kind of stuff. Everybody knows the story, just if you're going to do it. Anyway, Dana, I told you I wouldn't ask you a lot of questions. So what do you do here at Malvern Institute?
I'm one of the clinical supervisors here, so I kind of work closely with the counselors, providing patient care and kind of overseeing the program day-to-day schedule.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here a little over 4 years now.
And you enjoy your work?
Absolutely. I love what I do.
Good, good. Okay. Is there anything do you want to ask anybody anything or no? No? Okay, 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 that's fine. All right, why don't we take a break right now? And we'll be right back. Clean and Sober Radio, WWDB from Malvern Institute outside of Philadelphia. Founded in 1948, the Malvern Institute continues to be a leader in the field of addiction treatment, now offering 2 inpatient treatment centers in Malvern and Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, as well as counseling centers throughout the Tri-County area. The Malvern Institute, a respected presence in the field. They provide an individual-based model of clinical care coupled with a 12-step approach and then followed by continued engagement and support for at least 90 days. Please call or visit to arrange help for yourself or a loved one. Call 866-455-8732. You are going to be able to speak to one of their trained professional admission staff members. Courtesy transportation can be provided as well.
Most major insurances are also accepted. For more information, we urge you to visit them. You can go to their website, www.malvernstitute.com, and follow them on Facebook. The Malvern Institute, providing a foundation for lifelong recovery since 1948. Call 866-455-8732. That's 866-455-8732. Call today.
Hey, this is Andy Powell of Wishbone Ash, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Money Man, Eddie Money, and you know what? I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Why? It's good for the blood.
Hey, this is Daryl Strawberry, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
You're knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more? Ooh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man.
Freaks me out. You know, I can just picture myself in somebody's basement. It wasn't heroin, but it was other stuff. And the despair, hopelessness, and all that other stuff. The song's incredible. And I never heard that song. I never heard that song until about seven weeks ago. It's unbelievable. And I grew up in the music business in Philadelphia, where I made records, hit records in Philly growing up. And I never heard that song, but it's really powerful, really, really powerful. Okay, so it's Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB, AM 860. If you have any callers out there want to call in, we're live radio at 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Who wants to come up next? Come on.
How you doing? I'm Brett, an alcoholic.
Hey, Brett.
How are you?
Good. Got a lot of friends in here, right?
I sure do. Some great people in here. Great people here, great staff, the counselors, the nurses, they all do a great job of giving us the tools that we need to get through our treatment here. So it's been good. An excellent experience.
How long have you been here so far?
I am on a little over a week.
Okay. Drug of choice?
Drug of choice is alcohol.
Okay. All right. Is this your first time in treatment?
This is my sixth time in treatment in about a year and a half.
Okay, and you think it's going to be different, or you feel different? Are you more willing to do what you have to do? Or?
Yeah, I do. I've stay here at Malvern, I've really taken some time to kind of reflect on myself and the feelings and emotions that I get as sobriety continues, and those are things that are suppressed for a long time when we're using actively. So in that process, I think I've kind of rediscovered who I am and the things I enjoy, and you know, just coping with those emotions is a lot easier when you have a community around you as well.
So, do you have a family support? Is your family supportive of you?
Yes, they are. They are very supportive. I'm glad to have them. They should actually be here tomorrow, so I'm excited to see them and you know, just work on an aftercare plan and kind of go from there.
Anybody else in your family have substance abuse problems?
I do. I have a brother and a paternal grandmother that were also alcoholics as well.
Really?
Yes.
Paternal grandmother.
Correct.
I see. Wow. Okay. Good. Well, best of luck to you. Is there anything else you want to say?
No. I just want to thank you for having us all, and I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to moving on with my sobriety and taking the tools that I've gained here at Malvern and continuing my life.
Yeah. Good. Congratulations. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead. What's your name?
I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ryan. How you doing?
So
you want me to ask you some questions? Is that what you want me to do?
It's up to you. It's your
okay,
show.
Okay, let me ask you something. That's right, it is. is this the first time in treatment? I'm always fascinated by, you know, I'm a proponent of, you know, I don't care if it's 15 times. You know, you should get in treat. You should come to treatment. Insurance companies should pay for it each and every time. So, is this your first or?
This is actually my second. I went 12 years ago. I was actually caught up in a prescription painkiller addiction. Crashed a quad, and you know, I went to rehab, but all I did was 7 days and left. So I basically did the detox and got out of there. Unfortunately, I was young enough where I didn't have the knowledge to know what to do and how to plan because I didn't pay attention to anything. And what happened was over, you know, you become 21, you hit the bar, you meet the ladies, all that stuff. And it kind of kept steady for a while. I had a rough past year and a half, but you know, I drank the issues away. I basically blocked everything out. So I did a lot of paying attention this time, and what I really found was that rather than speaking up my emotions, I actually kept everything inside, and that's what led me to the point. Like, I had to block everything out completely.
You know, I think people on the outside who aren't, you know, involved in recovering, they think that all of us had the worst families, childhoods, everything else, and that's what happened to us. But, you know, that's not necessarily true. I mean, what kind of family life did you have growing up?
I was one of two. I was the baby.
Uh-huh.
I was extremely spoiled. Lived a great life.
Right.
There's no reasons behind it.
There's no rhyme or reason,
no,
right?
No, nothing. It's just the unfortunate thing that, you know, I had that accident. It wrapped me up in one addiction. I realized what addiction was, and that one led to another. I didn't understand that, you know, just because I was done with painkillers didn't mean that I couldn't get addicted to alcohol.
Right.
Because it's so, you know, it's socially accepted.
Right. It's interesting. You know, I very rarely hear somebody with just an alcohol story now. You know? It's usually a whole, you know, trash can of stuff. So it's sort of refreshing to hear just an alcohol story, I guess.
Yeah, I actually, I have a, you know, I live the American dream, you could say.
Yeah.
I have the beautiful wife, an amazing 2-year-old daughter, the nice house, the nice cars, everything. So it was just an unfortunate turn of events that led me to the bottle.
Yeah.
And not being able to speak about my emotions actually led to me landing here. And I'm extremely grateful that I did because, you know, I learned to talk again. And I learned how to cope with things and, you know, the staff was amazing. Everything was awesome. And, you know, I get out next week. Luckily, I just found out a few minutes ago.
Good. What's your aftercare?
Luckily enough, we had the author, Vince DiPasquale, come in here yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he actually ends up living in my town in South Jersey. He invited me to his home group.
Great.
And he actually told me, you know what? I'm going to find you a sponsor. I'm going to set you up with someone. So things happen for a reason. I can't believe that did. It's crazy, but yes. I lucked out.
Surround yourselves with as much support as you can get. I mean, it's my whole, not everybody, but most of the people I hang with now are in recovery, you know, and that's important. Very important that they understand what you've gone through and what you're going through. And it's important also if your family can get involved in, you know, either, you know, Al-Anon, Nar-Anon, or any of those organizations. It just makes it easier, and it completes the process of the recovery, of the ongoing recovery. That's what I believe.
Absolutely.
So good luck to you. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you very much.
What's your name?
My name's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. Okay. All right. Where are you from, Elizabeth?
From Honeybrook. Pennsylvania, Chester County.
Okay. What was your drug of choice?
Crystal meth.
Crystal meth. And how did you get to Malvern?
Well,
I don't mean by car or anything like that. Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Actually, it was. I mean, I ended up here because I stole money from my mom's bank account, basically.
Okay.
And it was either here or sleep at the lake by my house. So, I mean, I kind of chose here, but it was definitely a blessing in disguise.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter why you're here. I remember when I went into rehab, I went in so it would look good for a judge.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only reason I went in. And then after a while, whatever you want to call it, clicked, and it was like, I've had enough. So hopefully you'll, you know. I know you don't want to sleep near the lake, but maybe there's more to it. You know?
There is now. Like, definitely I'm sick and tired of the way I was living. Because it wasn't living at all, just existing.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you very much, and good luck to
you.
Thank you. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Gary. I'm Greg. I'm worried about the Eagles' offensive line.
Okay, Greg.
Sorry. No.
Is that why you're here?
Wrong type of show. I'm sorry.
Is that why you're here?
I'm sorry. No, for goodness sake, no. I'm Greg, and I'm an alcoholic.
Okay. Hey, Greg.
How's it going? And it's funny that you're here today with Clean and Sober Radio because last October I inadvertently came across this radio station while searching for some sort of sports station driving down 422, which I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunateness of going down. It's one of the worst lanes in all of Pennsylvania.
Did you hear us on Sports 610?
Correct, yes. Okay. And it was a Sunday morning,
yep.
And I was on my way to view a wedding venue coming from another job. And that that wedding, that engagement, is what I'm here today trying to get sober for myself and for her as well.
Okay.
So it's an ironic turn of events. I've always come across it. I came across it, and I remember thinking, last October, I need to stop. And that was last October, and here I am now.
Good, good. So let me ask you a couple of things. So where did you grow up?
Malvern.
Oh, you grew up in
Straight Vern, yeah. Beautiful.
So you knew about this place.
Oh, yeah.
Stayed away from it.
Yeah,
right?
I passed by it twice a day growing up, every day of my life. I knew about it, and I hate to tell these people how awesome they are, but it's strange how you just have to go a mile and a half down the road to find some of the most beautiful and influential people that I've had the joy of meeting so far, including you, Dana.
And is this your first go-around?
Correct. This is my first and God willing
only. Should I do one and done, as they say, right?
God willing, yes. That's the full intention.
How long will you be in here?
I've been in here now about, it's going to be about 2 weeks so far.
Okay.
And I'm looking at about 21 days.
Okay.
And immediate aftercare. I'm in education, so I'll be doing about 3 nights a week at a local hospital.
So are you getting married right after you get out of here?
That's dependent upon, listen, it's all about one day at a time and resolving relationships.
That's right.
And you hear the terminology, don't you?
Yeah, I've heard it.
And listen, I'd love to tell you that everything is going to be great, but it's one day at a time. And trust in many relationships has been broken through addiction.
Yeah.
And it's a day at a time process. But we're both willing to take it that, you know, day at a time.
Look.
And I'm blessed to be here.
Yeah.
I didn't think the first day I was here, I was like, this is not a good thing. But it's become, you know, I don't think anybody thinks that. But it's become a blessing because there was a big problem in my life. Like I mentioned last October, hearing this on a random Sunday and thinking I need to stop. And here I am, you know,
great.
Many months later.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good.
Great.
We're going to take our second break. You're listening to Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB, and we're live at the Malvern Institute in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and we'll be right back with some really cool people.
Hi, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, TV's Eddie Munster, and everything is better with Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, this is Bobby Rydell, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, I'm Tony Luke Jr., and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio right here on WWDB 860 AM.
This is Andrew Lou Gotham. I am Clean and Sober. You should be Clean and Sober, and listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Clean and Sober Radio. And that song, Mind Game. Nobody here's playing any games in their minds, do they? I mean, during all this, here, before, everybody's honest. Everything going on in their head was exactly the way, the reality, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Who wants to come on next? All right here. Hey, what's your name?
My name's Mallory.
Hey, Mallory.
And I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mallory.
Hi. I started drinking probably about a year or two ago, and ever since, my life very quickly snowballed into an unmanageable, just one event after another. Kept saying I would stop, and I couldn't stop, and eventually I surrendered, and I said, tell me where I need to go. The Maryland Addiction Recovery Center recommended Malvern, and I've honestly never been happier. Everybody here is so nice. We have such a beautiful community, and I didn't think that, you know, in a place where there's going to be alcoholics and addicts that I would meet such wonderful, supportive people. It's
so
awesome.
So within a year and a half, it took you right down, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was quick. I went from, you know, the happy-go-lucky freshman at college to a sophomore who was I would have failed all my classes this semester if I didn't withdraw. But I'm lucky that I had the support. I play on the volleyball team at my local university, and my coaches, they supported me all through this. They let me withdraw, and they were like, you come back in the spring, and you'll be a better you, and I believe that I can do that.
So, like, what happens? It's not like all of a sudden you just, you know, shoot up or drink or whatever. What led up to that year and a half?
Actually, I've been discussing this with my counselor. I suffered a car accident February of this year. I had a concussion, a traumatic brain injury, if you'll call it. And I was excused from a lot of schoolwork, excused from volleyball. So I thought, well, if I'm not doing anything, I might as well drink. And so I started drinking. And through my recovery process with my concussion, I didn't stop. And they said that there's a possibility that that kind of changed my brain chemistry. I became a really different person than who I was last year. And right. It went from, you know, college drinking to having a fifth in your bedroom by yourself every night. So
it really changed and escalated.
Yeah. I got there were nights where I got aggressive with my roommates. I have a lot of guilt over it, but I'm learning to process it here. And when I come back, I'm ready to make amends and just let people know that I'm sorry and I'm going to do better. For them, but mostly for myself, because I couldn't even deal with myself. And I can't imagine how they dealt with me.
Is your family involved?
Yeah, kind of. My family is a little bit involved. My mom is an alcoholic and has been for about 20 or so years now, basically my entire life. Like, type alcoholic where you might as well not talk to her past 7 p.m. because she's not going to remember that conversation. So
are you, when you get out of here, are you going back to school or back to your house?
I have an apartment near my university, so I will be going there. I will be getting a sponsor, attending meetings, probably doing some IOP with the Maryland Addiction Recovery Center. They've been really awesome in getting me here, and I can't thank them enough. It's been a very easy journey from where I started, from where I am now.
So you had friends before you started going off the rails. Are those people still around?
Yes. The people, well, it's funny because, I was on the volleyball team at my university, and those are my friends. I didn't have any other friends outside of the team mostly, but that's pretty normal. My roommate's on the team. She is one of my biggest supporters. She is my best friend. If she would find me drinking, she'd come in the room, take the bottle away, and sit down with me, and I would cry. I'd be like, I don't deserve you. She's like, I would sit in your room every night with you if it meant that you would feel a little bit better in the morning. And, you know, I have a tremendous support system waiting for me at home.
That's a good friend, isn't mm-hmm. it? Good.
I'm very, very lucky.
Good. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. Our next guest is a little bit nervous, but that's okay.
Hi, my name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
I'm a drug addict.
Hi, Lisa.
Let me tell you what insurance companies are paying for. Okay. I was at Horsham Clinic for 2 weeks, shipped to Penn Foundation for a month. After Penn Foundation, I went to Kirkbride for 8 months. In between Kirkbride, I went out and in for a eating disorder, where I went to Lower Bucks Hospital for 4 days, then to Belmont, back to Horsham, now I'm here.
Okay, so what's the point? You're saying the insurance companies are paying for everything?
Yes.
Okay, that's great news.
Yeah.
Treatment, 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 treatment.
Yes, because last November, I go to a doctor, and the DEA came in, and they hit his office. They took files. Mine was one of them. And I was out with 810 pills per month, addiction. Mm-hmm. And I was doing probably 300 milligrams and higher a day.
Right. All right, so you're at Malvern now.
Yes.
And how's it going here?
Malvern sticks by their word when they say something. I'm in awe of them. And they are helping me get to another place for 6 to 8 months.
Okay, good, yeah.
And my sister's being a real jerk. I want to go home to Jersey and Staten Island, and she's just being a real jerk.
Well, don't you think it's a good idea to get as much treatment as you can get?
Well, she told me first that I have to get off the methadone and I can come home.
Uh-huh.
Now I did that, and then she flips the thing over, and now I can't go home for 2 years.
Okay, well maybe those things, maybe it'll change. You never know. I would just concentrate on getting as much treatment as you can get.
I am.
Good, good. You did a great job just now.
Okay? Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm Brad, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Brad.
I just wanted to share two things that keep me on my feet in my recovery. I used to be, well, I still am, a vicious heroin addict, and it's brought me to my knees, to the point where I was homeless and just a criminal and just the worst of it. But ever since coming to this fellowship, I learned two really important things, and those are that, one, I know how everybody felt at the end of your run, like right before that led you up to coming in here, like that hopelessness and despair and like even almost wanting to die. But I have something to tell you, and that's that you never have to feel that way ever again. With this fellowship and this program and these people, you never have to feel that way ever again. And two, you're never ever gonna have to be alone again in this, because if we have this fellowship and all these people around you that understand you and love you, then you never have to feel that way ever again, and you'll never be alone ever again. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. That was great. Great message. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Jen. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jen.
How
you doing?
I'm doing okay.
What are you doing here?
I'm here because I hit rock bottom pretty hard.
Like what?
Had opportunity to have the world, and it just like crumbled right through my fingers. I had a house paid for, that slowly just went right out the window. I had three beautiful children, and I lost two, and then I lost one. And then slowly, like, my family just started dying off, and yeah, it's just really hard.
Sounds really, really hard. How long have you been in here?
I've been in here a week. Tonight will make 1 week for me.
Okay.
I really didn't have a choice. I was either here or sleep in my van, so.
You're in the van?
Here in the van, yeah.
Or somebody here near the lake or something. So you're going to stay, you're going to get as much treatment as you can. You're going to, is any family around for support?
I don't have any family, but I do have a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He is amazing. He has been there through the entire addiction process for me. He's a recovering addict himself, but he kept his distance but still stayed by my side.
It's great. I mean, a lot of people, you know, take off. And
yeah, they do.
You're lucky.
Even your own family.
Even your own family. So what was your drug of choice?
Meth.
Meth? When was the last time you used?
It's been since last Monday was the last time I used meth.
Okay.
So it's been a week and what?
Is it hard? Is it hard coming off of that?
It's not hard coming off of it. It's just hard dealing with my emotions, dealing with the reality of and responsibility. I used it to run away from and to escape from all my problems.
Yeah, we all did that, right?
Yeah, it was very easy.
Right. Sort of easy, and then, you got to deal with it at some point.
I'm dealing with it. I'm facing a lot of it now. I know that regardless, like whether the turnaround comes around where I have all three of my kids back and I get, you know, the house back, or if I get, you know, just half of it, at least I'll be able to know that I'm clean and sober and that I can face it without, like, running straight downhill.
I mean, it's true when you hear it. You can do anything when you're clean and sober. I mean, you just have to prove it to everybody, you know, who's in control, who's pulling the strings. And you will, if you're honest with yourself and honest with everybody else. I know it's easy to say that, but, you know, there's nothing more important than staying clean and sober, than everything else would come your way.
Even though, like, during the whole process of my addiction, like, nobody, like, through, like, whether it was, like, the government agencies or, like, my brother. I mean, I wasn't on probation, but I did have children and youth. Nobody knew I was getting high, and I faked it very, very well, but it's still, like, I still caught the consequences as they came.
Do you really think nobody knew you were getting high?
No, I think they knew, but they couldn't catch me.
They couldn't. That's a different story. That's a different story. Okay, well, yeah, you know, as always, get as much treatment as you can get, you know.
And, I'm trying.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
There you go.
How's it going, Gary?
Good. I'm John. I know you broke your leg because you were drinking or something, right?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
That's right.
Yep, I'm John and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John. What's going on?
Nothing.
Where are you from?
I'm from Marlton, New Jersey, okay. South Jersey.
All right.
First time in rehab, so.
Okay.
Everyone here has been fantastic, from the staff to the community. We're a team here, and everyone kind of plays off each other, and it's been fantastic.
It's great, right? But you don't want to come back.
Absolutely not.
Right?
No.
One time.
Yeah, it's great seeing you guys, but let's hope that this is the last time we see each other.
So what brought you here?
I had a couple things. I had a DUI before I was 21. Mm-hmm. I'm in college, and just, again, like Mallory, I thought it was the college drinking stage. I started going to a few AA meetings and then fell off, didn't really connect to the spirituality aspect of it, and convinced everyone that I was all right, and then started drinking again. And it was two times in 5 months where I was put in serious danger where I could have lost my life.
And what was your family doing during all this?
My mom actually told me last night that knowing that I was here and safe was the first time in a couple months that she's got a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, they sat down, they did an intervention, and I put up a wall and didn't want to do it, and it took all my family members sitting in a circle crying for about an hour and a half for me to finally realize that this is what I need to do for myself.
Was it the crying, or was it the it made sense to you?
It needed to happen through crying, through the emotion, for it to make sense to me.
Because
I couldn't rationalize it any other way. And I almost didn't with the emotion that they were giving.
Good.
So
when you get out of here, you're going back to Jersey? Is that where you're going?
Yep. I'm still enrolled in school. I'll be a senior. I took off this semester, so.
Okay, no big deal.
I'm planning to go back, but definitely doing some aftercare, whether it's a partial hospitalization plan or a halfway house, not sure yet, but then followed by intensive outpatient.
So what about the people, places, and things thing? So your buddies that you were drinking with, and how will you deal with that?
That's something I haven't really tackled yet. I did live off campus, so that's going to be a big task. But they've been super supportive, and they realize that this issue isn't just with me, it's with them as well. And they've been awesome so far, so I can't wait to get back with them and see where they're at as well.
Okay, and I guess you know if it's not the right, if those people aren't the right, you got to get rid of them.
Yes, absolutely. You
know? Yeah,
that's why I've come to learn here.
Good. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Founded in 1948, the Malvern Institute continues to be a leader in the field of addiction treatment, now offering two inpatient treatment centers in Malvern and Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, as well as counseling centers throughout the Tri-County area. The Malvern Institute, a respected presence in the field. They provide an individual-based model of clinical care coupled with the 12-step approach, and then followed by continued engagement and support for at least 90 days. Please call or visit to arrange help for yourself or a loved one. Call 866 855-8732. You are going to be able to speak to one of their trained professional admissions staff members. Courtesy transportation can be provided as well. Most major insurances are also accepted. For more information, we urge you to visit them. You can go to their website, www.malverninstitute.com, and follow them on Facebook. The Malvern Institute, providing a foundation for lifelong recovery since 1948. Call 866-455-8732. That's 866-455-8732. Call today.
Hi, this is Dion, the Wanderer. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio. You might hear something that'll change your life. Yo.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
This is Dr. Joan, and you listen to Clean and Sober Radio, 860 AM.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
That's another depressing song.
Yeah. It's so depressing, I can't stand it.
Okay, so we're back, Clean and Sober Radio, and Joe, you ready to come on? How are you, Joe?
Good, how you doing, Gary?
Good. What's up?
Not much, just happy to be here.
You happy to be here?
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, good. What are you learning at the Malvern Institute?
Learning that drugs aren't the only thing in life, and that if I want something bad enough and I work towards it, I could have what I want.
I mean, you know how hard we all went to get drugs and whatever we were doing. We go to the end of the earth for it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that cliche, you know, if you put that energy into positive stuff, all of us do whatever you want.
It's true.
We're smart people. You know that?
I do. I actually decided about 15 minutes ago that I'm definitely moving to California.
Okay, why'd you decide that 15 minutes ago?
I was having a discussion with one of the therapists here, and I'm going to be moving to another spot in PA. I'm from Philly. I'm going to be moving to another area in PA to a recovery house for the first time ever. And we were discussing recovery houses in California, and she gave me a little bit of literature, and I'm going to be contacting them as soon as I get to the new recovery house here in PA.
Okay, so you're going to land in the recovery house around here, get situated, and then investigate what you have to do to get out to California.
Exactly.
Okay, okay. So that's a geographical move. How are you going to? What was your drug of choice?
Cocaine was pretty dominant, and opiates.
Okay. So is this the first time treatment?
First time in treatment.
Okay. So it's up to you. You don't have to ever come back to these places, you know.
The only time I'm going to be coming back is if I'm sitting on this end of the table.
Or visiting somebody, and you're going to help them.
Hopefully, I won't have to visit anyone I know personally, but yes, I would help anyone.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you this. Do you have siblings?
I have a younger sister.
Did she get involved?
No, she's actually the total opposite of me. She's never done any drugs.
Yeah, I have the same thing with my sister. It's weird.
It's a good thing.
I know they say it's DNA and it's genetic, but sometimes there's like no connection, you know?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, she's never even smoked weed.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, good luck to you and in your next two moves.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good luck, man. We have another guest approaching the microphone. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Heather, and for only the second time I've said an alcoholic. And it would be better if you asked me questions.
Okay. Do you consider yourself an alcoholic? Okay, so, okay, tell me how that, where are you from?
Trappier.
Okay.
But I'm originally from Malvern.
Okay, originally from Malvern. And have you always lived around here, this area?
I lived here for 22 years. And then when I got married, I lived in Wayne.
How old were you when you started drinking?
It's complicated. So I drank on and off till I was 23, but it was nothing major.
You're saying you were a social drinker then? Is that what everybody else thought too? Yeah.
I wasn't actually even a social I would drink at like a wedding.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. So I wasn't, there was no problem then. When I was 23, my husband was diagnosed with diabetes.
Who?
My husband.
Okay.
So we never drank. And then my family had a 50th birthday party for me. So I drank. And that's never been a problem.
Okay.
You know, and then my husband died not long ago.
Oh, okay. And, sorry to hear that.
I thank you. And it's been over a year, and that's when I started drinking.
That's when it really escalated. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, truly, it was about 9 months ago. It was just, you fill the hole. And that's what I do with drinking.
Right.
And then last week, I talked to my sister, and she's 25 years sober.
Oh, okay.
And I live with her, so she could say, I'm going through one of those massive boxes of wine every 2 days, some beer, some fireballs. And truly, I'd go to work and think, oh, my God, 20 minutes to my drink.
Yeah.
So what scares me the most is what's going to be the next step? The wine doesn't do it anymore. Am I going to go to hard liquor? Am I going to start driving and drinking? I work in a warehouse. I use big machinery. Am I going to be drinking and using that? I'm scared.
Well, hopefully you'll listen to the staff at Malvern. You'll do, you know, forget what your plans are. You'll do what they say. And you should, if you follow it, you should be okay.
Well, that's why I admitted myself here.
Good. That's a tough thing to do, but you're to be congratulated for doing that.
Why, thank you.
Good luck.
And thank you for listening to me.
Who else? Okay, we have about 3 minutes, so make if you're the last guy. Is anybody else going to come up here? All right, try to move it along.
Got it. How's it going, Gare Bear?
Good. Let's move it along.
All right, gotcha. My name's Tim. I'm an addict.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah. Hey.
No, go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, got you. Listen, I'll keep it short. There's a lot of people out there that are addicted or alcoholics that their lives are run by fear. Rehab is not, it may be the step that you need. And, you know, if you don't think anyone out there is listening, trust me, there's people here that are. Don't be afraid to, you know, face your fears and stuff like that.
Good luck to you, man.
Thanks.
Very good luck. Was it, you're the guy? Okay.
Yeah, I'm Tyler. I'm a drug addict.
Hi, Tyler.
I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I'm here for heroin, and I had a relapse after a significant amount of clean time. And, I've been to Malvern, Willow Grove, and Karen Foundation, and this time I know I can't have 1 foot in recovery and 1 foot in my hometown.
Okay.
And I plan to move to Georgia, and not only that, but jump in NA down there. That way, that's the only people I know down there, and I plan to keep it that way.
Okay, good. Good plan. Good luck to you, man. All right, we're up against the hour. Dana, did you want to say something?
Sure. I just want to really thank you for bringing the show to us today. We work with a lot of amazing people with inspirational stories that you got a chance to hear, and it's really an honor to be a part of the recovery process. So I'm glad we got to share that with you today.
Thanks a lot. I got to say, sure, thank you very much. You know, we do a lot of shows that, you know, some pretty big, you know, famous people, but there's nothing like when my friends come on the show and we talk about the old days and what it's like now, or doing a show like this. This is the most, I really think this last hour was probably the most important radio anywhere, because, you know, we're all dealing, whether we're clean or not clean, we're all dealing with a lot of stuff, and we are strong people, and if we stay clean and sober, we can do anything. So I want to wish everybody the best of luck, and thanks for having us here.
The system tries to bring you down.